Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
And the title of the message today is, What Do You Have When You Have Jesus? And we'll look at the gift of Jesus Christ, and it's amazing. I could preach a lot of messages answering that one question, but we only have one for today. And so look at 1 John chapter 3, and let's read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll go over to 1 John chapter 4 and read verses 4 through 9. And his first two verses are just powerful. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I just got to tie in verse 3. Let's go ahead and read it. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Man, that's good. Look at chapter 4, starting in verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Wow, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that we are unique as believers, that we have a hope within us that purifies us. We have the love of God living in our hearts. And Lord, we have that hope, knowing that one day we will dwell with You for eternity in glory. Lord, there's no greater gift than the indescribable gift of Your Son. And Lord, we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the title again is, What Do You Have When You Have Jesus? And through the years, and I don't do it as much anymore, but I used to do a lot of gag gifts. And I remember one year, and particularly to my oldest brother, because he was good-natured, and he seemed to handle them pretty good. And one year, and I told Teresa, I said, this is going to be the best one that I've ever done. I'm going to start on it in the summertime. It's going to be awesome. And I put together this gift, this beautiful gift for my brother, and I took those, I don't know if y'all remember them, but they're deals that you can pull them like this, and they go pow, and they blow a little bit of smoke, and little powder comes out of them, and I tied a whole bunch of those and wrapped them all around the gift. Now, that's not what's inside the gift, this is just the outside, and then I had a string that was a heavy-duty string that came out the outside of the package with a little handle on it, and it said, pull hard for luck. And I told my brother, I said, now, David, and David had already gotten pretty accustomed that it's probably a gag gift for me. And I said, I want you to pull that rope as hard as you can pull it. Well, it was so much better than I ever dreamed. And I mean, the explosion was powerful. And it blew all the paper off of the gift. Smoke went everywhere. And every baby in the house was crying. It was truly wonderful. And another time, because of time's sake, I can't tell you all that he had to go through inside it, but I made another one year for my brother-in-law. And I made a plywood box, and I put screws every millimeter all the way around that box, big old coarse thread drywall screws to hold it all together, put a chicken pin hasp on it, put the present in there, wrapped it in copper winding, and wrapped everything in that present in copper winding, including some wire cutters, and I let the wire cutter stick out the top, but the handles were wrapped in copper winding where you couldn't use the wire cutters. But to get into the box, there was a combination lock on it, and you had to figure the combination out, and it had directions. And to figure it out, you had to read all of the Matthew 2 Christmas story and all of the Luke 2 Christmas story because the answers were tied within it. And my brother-in-law, we were already completely through with Christmas, and he was still over there trying to figure the combination out on that thing. And he finally gets in there, and he's all excited that he gets the lid open, and he realizes everything he got is wrapped in copper winding, and his wire cutters are wrapped in copper winding. Couldn't even use them. So he had to carry it home to get the rest of his gift and tear that thing apart. I think with the Lord, God has given us an indescribable gift. And sometimes we need to spend just a little bit of time unpacking it and looking at it, what it means. And that's what we're going to do this morning. The first thing I want you to see, and we'll see it in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3, is I have a calling in Jesus. When you unwrap that gift after you accept Jesus Christ, you have a calling in Jesus. And sometimes we take this for granted. But let me help you to see what it means. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us." Now, remember, the Holy Spirit inspired the writers to write these words. The Holy Spirit knows how great this love is. For you and I, it's hard to fathom. I can remember when we had our two girls and we were trying to think of what to name Caitlin. Personally, I liked using the phone book because there's a lot of names in it. So I was looking in the phone book. Teresa didn't really go for my methodology. And so we finally decide on Caitlin Christine. The Christine is after my grandmother, but the Lynn is after my mother because her name is Lynn. Her name is Loretta Lynn, and she's not any kin to Loretta Lynn. When we name names, we name them because there's purpose behind it. And so what the Spirit is telling us here in verse 1 is this. He's saying you have a calling in Jesus Christ that you are able to be called a child of God. Now that's powerful. Because he doesn't have to do that. But he says, I'm going to make you a part of my son. So if we become a part of his son and we are adopted into the son's family, then that makes us, you and I, what? Brothers and sisters. That means that I'm your brother. But we're brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is our bridegroom. And we are his bride. And the Father, God the Father, God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And God the Father says, and you are my child. Now that's powerful. He says that, therefore, the world does not know us. So it doesn't make sense to the world, because the world sees us loving one another. We pray for one another. We help one another. And it doesn't make sense to everybody in the world. They're like, why do you love each other so much? Why do you call Jesus, call upon his name and depend upon him for everything? Why are you worshiping the Lord? Why do you sing to him? It's because we have the Spirit of God dwelling in our heart. And when the Spirit of God dwells in our heart, it makes us cry out, Abba, Father. That's what we have. We have a calling. And the Bible says that one day in verse 2, when he is revealed, he says, you're going to be like him. He says, for we shall see him as he is. We're probably going to see Jesus and say, you know what, Jesus, I always thought you looked like that picture we had on the wall. We don't really know what he looks like. We'll find out, though. We're going to see him in his glorified body, and we're going to see him as he is. Now, there's one more thing I want to bring out about having a calling. Your calling is not only to be a child, but you also have a calling into the kingdom of heaven. You have a calling and a purpose. You may say, well, I don't feel like I have a purpose. Well, I want to tell you, if you're born again and you're sitting in here today and you're breathing, you have a calling while you're still on earth. God has a purpose for your life right now, today, while you're living. And he already knows all the details of your life. He knows all your health situations. He knows your financial situation. He knows every detail of your life, and he knows it perfectly. And the Lord has a calling because he has given us a kingdom. In fact, he said that kingdom is within you. And he has given us a kingdom, and he's given us keys to that kingdom. And one of the things that we have in Jesus is we also have, because of those keys, we have answered prayer. There's nothing like seeing your prayers answered. And that's a part of the gift that we have in Jesus. So what do we have when you have Jesus? You have a calling. And that calling is that you're called a child of God and that you're called to serve Him in the Lord's vineyard. Look at Matthew 20. We're called to serve Him in His vineyard, laboring in His vineyard, laboring in His kingdom here on earth, bringing glory to His name. Is that powerful or what? That's our calling. But then secondly, we have a little bit more than that. We have a champion in Jesus. I want you to think about that. I've always admired parents that have adopted children. There was a time that Trace and I were considering adoption, and we didn't have to. Caitlin ended up coming along, but we were considering that. And I looked at the process, and there's a lot of time, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of money, a lot of things involved in the adoption process. But did you know when you adopt a child, it comes to a point that that child is signed, sealed, and delivered to you. He or she is your child, and that child has every right legally and otherwise to call you mama and to call you daddy, and you have every right legally and otherwise to call that child son or daughter. Nothing can change that because that child has now become a part of that parent. You and I have been adopted in Jesus Christ into the family of God. And we have every legal right to call Him our Father. And He has every legal right to call us His son or daughter. Isn't that powerful? Because of that, and what indwells us, it gives us a champion. Look at verse 4 of chapter 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, prior to this, in the context, he's been talking about the false prophets and about those that are false, that are not truly Christians, that are truly the enemies of Christ. And he's saying, but not you. He's saying the world may look like it's winning. The world may be coming against you. He says, but let me remind you of something. You have a champion living in your heart, and that champion is greater than he that is in the world. That's what that picture is. And he's saying, because of that, your life is going to be different. That's where your calling comes into play, is because the champion is living within. Jesus lives within us via the Holy Spirit. That's how He dwells in our heart. So when we pray, we're praying to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, by the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit enabling that to take place. So all three personalities of God, ministries of God, God is one, but all three of these ministries of the Son, of the Father is being displayed in our life as He is the champion in our life. Here's what scares me, because I know me personally. And I know, and I've heard that we only use about a third of our brain. Now, that's pretty troubling for some of us, because our brains may not be all that big. But if we only use a third of our brain, I wonder if you applied that to the Holy Spirit and applied that to our lives in Jesus, how much of the kingdom do we take advantage of in Jesus Christ? How often do we spend time with the gift that He gave us called salvation, and we spend time praying and depending on Him and trusting Him and thanking Him for everything and saying, God, I just have so much more to be thankful for than I have to complain about. And Lord, I have so many things that I don't even take advantage of. Why don't I pray the way I should pray? It's because the flesh gets in the way. That old nature wants to rule the day. And the Lord's saying, if you just knew the things I want to do in your life, but you limit and I limit what God can do in our lives because we don't give Him full surrender. Think about that. So you ask yourself, you say, what is a champion? What does it mean? Flip back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at verse 14. And I'll show you what it means to have the Lord in us that is greater than he that is in the world. He says, now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. So the first thing we see here is that we're led in triumph. The second thing is that we smell good. In fact, I put some Eternity on this morning. Y'all ever heard of that cologne? It's called Eternity. I spray a lot. I like Eternity. So I spray a lot of Eternity on me because I want to make sure I got lots of Eternity on my body. Never know when something's liable to happen. And I walked by Teresa, and I wanted to see if she could smell Eternity. So I walked past her and kind of did like this because I sprayed it all over my neck. went into a sneezing hizzy after that, and walked by Teresa, and I let the ceiling fan hopefully blow some her way, and she didn't pay me no mind. So I turned around and I thought, well, the air's not blowing right. I got to get downwind so that it's going towards her. So I'm figuring out the wind in the room, and I walk by her again like this. And she looks at me and says, what are you doing? I said, do you smell eternity? I used eternity today. I don't normally use eternity. I use something else. And Teresa says, yeah, I smell you, but it smells like you put a little bit too much on. But that's a fragrance, and it smells good. I love when I smell to the little trigger. It's like, that's what I want right there. And then when I saw the label, eternity, I want more of it. And so here's what he says about us. He says, thanks to God who always leads us in triumph. You know what that means? When the military in Rome, when a Roman military won a war, and if they captured or killed at least 5,000 enemy soldiers, then they would have what they call a Roman triumph. It was a celebration. And so the general that led the army, the general would be in a magnificent chariot, and then he would have chained to that chariot the leaders of the enemy. They would be chained to it, and they would walk along behind the chariot. So for those that were celebrating victory, it was a win-win. For those who were defeated, it was a total loss. Now think about it, because then he all of a sudden says, we are the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now imagine, here comes this great military parade through town. Here's this general, and he's in his magnificent chariot, and the kings and the leaders that he captured are following behind him, chained to his chariot. The other rest of the military is following behind. Everybody is cheering. Everybody's excited. But guess what else was going on at that time? You could smell this wonderful incense, this fragrance, because the morning of the celebration, they didn't have emails, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have things like that. But the way they celebrated it is that morning, the priest would go up on the seven hills of Rome, and they would build a bonfire on each one of these seven hills, and they would burn incense. And they knew the smell. It smells like victory. And they would all come out knowing that there was a Roman triumph fixing to take place. And the Roman triumph would take place, and the parade would come through town, and the priests were in front of the chariot with these little deals that they swing like this, and then the smell comes out of those. And they would lead the procession. And so what he is doing here is the Lord is saying, because you have my son living in your life, you have the general, you have the champion that left heaven, went to battle, came to earth, fought the battle on the cross, defeated our enemy, that's Satan, and then chained to the chariot is a picture of you and I when we have surrendered our life to Jesus Christ. And we're saying, no longer does the devil have me, Lord. No longer is sin going to have dominion over my life. Lord, from this day forward, I surrender to you. I'm chained to your chariot, and I'm going to follow you, and you're going to lead me in triumph. But for the enemy, it was being led to death. I get around, there's a lot of you that I really got to know so close and so personal. And I know your walk with the Lord. And when I get around you, man, you smell like eternity. You smell good. And why is that? It's because God has changed your life. Listen, as Christians, we should be better tomorrow than we were the day before. We should be growing in grace and knowledge. We should be experiencing it. We should be falling more and more in love with Jesus as the day goes by. And when we do, everybody that gets around you, it doesn't matter if you're at the store, out driving in Christmas traffic on South Broadway, almost to Bed Bath & Beyond, where you have to say a real quick prayer. That's me, Lord, that slammed my brakes on real hard because that guy just cut out right in front of me. Bless that guy today, Lord. Let him have a wonderful Christmas. We have to change our attitude. Why? Because we got to smell like Christ. We got to be different. But then there's the last part, and I love this last part. And the third one is this. I have a cause in Jesus. You have a reason. You have a reason to live. In fact, you know what we have in Jesus? We have peace with God, but we have more than that. We have the peace of God. I'm always amazed when you're at the hospital and you're by the bedside of somebody that's just heard the bad news, and they know they don't have a whole lot of time left, and they're Christians, and they smell like eternity, and you get up beside them, and you're just praying, Lord, give me the words to minister to this person. I can't even imagine what they're going through in their heart. And when you walk away, you realized they ministered to you. You didn't minister to them. Why? Because they've learned how to depend on the Lord. They've learned that this life isn't all there is. If this life was all there is, I'd say fight for it with everything you have. But this life isn't all there is. This is just a little vapor, according to the book of James. It's just here a little while, then it's gone. But I'll tell you what, eternity lasts for a long time. And God loves us so much that he gives us a gift that lasts for eternity. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Kind of like this stuff I'm wearing right now. And look at, we're almost done, but look at chapter 4. And let's look at verse 7 in 1 John. He says, Beloved, let us love one another. Y'all, that's our cause that we have in Jesus. He wants us to love one another. There is so much power in love if we just understood it. Let us love one another. Love is of God. That's how we know who our King is. And everyone who loves is born. That's the new birth. Is born of God. That's a dogmatic statement. And knows God. He adds to it. He who does not love does not know God. Because, see, it's impossible to have Jesus in your heart and not love your brother in Christ. You just can't do it. You know why? Because he died for your brother in Christ. He also takes it a step further and says, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That's what we have. We have a cause, and we are called to love others. It reminds me of a story. It shows that we are the child of a king. We belong to somebody that is much more powerful than us. And it reminds me of you might remember Reverend E.V. Hill. Reverend E.V. Hill was a great sought-out preacher. And E.V. Hill was an amazing guy, just wonderful with his words, just an incredible guy. Never had any seminary or anything. Maybe he got it later, but in the beginning he didn't. And E.V. Hill tells the story of needing another secretary, church secretary, and he hires this secretary, and she's a young lady, and he just pays her whatever they can pay her. And so a few days later, this man comes to E.V. Hill and says, Brother Hill, do you know who that young girl is that you hired as a secretary? And he says, yeah, I do. It's just this young lady that needs some extra money, and we need some more help. And he says, oh, no, that little girl that you hired, that is Nat King Cole's daughter. And he says, oh, man, I'm only paying her $2 an hour. Well, anyway, so he and that man go to this young lady, and Dr. Hill says, I didn't realize that you were Nat King Cole's daughter. And I love Nat King Cole. In fact, my wife and I did everything we could to get his autograph one day. And I love to hear him sing. And he said, why didn't you tell me that you were a daughter of the king? And he's got all these millions of dollars. Surely there was money for you. Why did you come to work here? And she says, you know, I can't get that money till I'm 21. But when I'm 21, it's all mine. And I need a job. And so Brother Hill said, you know, it's just like that in Jesus. He said, in Jesus, we have a king. And in Jesus, we have an inheritance. And we have an eternity. And in Jesus, one day, this life and this body is going to begin to fade away. It's going to begin to perish because it just has to be so. But as our body seems to be perishing and it looks like it's our last moment, it is our triumphant moment when the general will be in his chariot and we will be chained to him. And what looks like it is slipping away is actually doing just the opposite. It is slipping into something with the King. It is slipping into an inheritance with Jesus Christ for all of eternity, forever and ever and ever. And when he is revealed, we shall see him as he is. Is that good or what? That's what we have in Jesus. One last thing it reminds me of. We have a trustworthy Savior as well. You can trust Jesus. Every one of us in this room is going through something different. Your experience is going to be different than somebody else's, but not for Jesus. He experienced the worst of the worst. And you say, you know, I'm having a hard time. It's Christmas and I'm stressed and all this stuff is going on. Just relax and enjoy it. Best thing to do is go South Tyler and just get right there in the flow of traffic. Just enjoy it. But you can trust your Savior. And you know what the Savior is saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, come. Come and be blessed for all eternity, covered by my blood. Let me give you atonement for Christmas. Let me give you life and joy abundantly for Christmas. Let me give you peace for what you're going through for Christmas. Let me give you worship for Christmas. And he ends the book in Revelation and he says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. It's an invitation to come to Jesus. You may be a Christian, but you need to come to Jesus. And you need to allow him to give you that peace. It reminds me of that sacred hymn written by C. Austin Miles called In the Garden. I didn't know that I already had this in my notes for the message today to end with. And then I realized during the week when Kevin sends me his email of what the songs were that he had the same song to end with as well. That's only the Lord can put these things together. Listen to what he says. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. How often do we get up early to spend some time with the Lord? Just with him. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. When you hear from the Spirit, it's because the Savior is speaking to you. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.